Here is a warning to all shipping. It's round the horn.
And tonight, Kniff's guest star, the Reverend Unseemly Dog Posture, conducting the mass humors of the Women's Institute, Edge Boston. And Dame Sweeney Eggblast, the Clacton Dripping Heiress.
And here's your host, Cardiff's dusky queen of song, Kenneth Hall.
Thank you. That was, of course, Douglas Smith, who would like to get it straight. But unfortunately, it has to stay in plaster for another 2 weeks. Here now are the answers to last week's questions. Firstly, where do you find it in Scotland question? And the answers were hanging down in front of the kilt, tucked under the arm and blown, and stuffed down the sock, except on Burns night when it's used to cut the haggis. Finally, the where would you find it written question, and the answers were on the base of the Great Pyramid, halfway along the Great Wall of China in whitewash, and in a tobacconist's window in the Edgware Road. At least that's where I read it, and if you're listening, Mr. Lolita, I rang and rang, but there was no answer. So I've joined the Photographic Society of the Chalk Farm Polytechnic instead.
At this point, we were going to do the Three Musketeers, Episode 3. But we got fed up with it. So here instead is a thrilling story of Africa. Proud to represent Kenneth Horne as Lip Harvest of the River.
My name is Dr. Ganimel Lip Harvest III. The other two died of embarrassment. I was christened James Obadiah, St. John Abraham, Spike Loomis, Cyril Angus, Ali Ben Moses, Rastus Petty, Heinrich Giovanni Fuman Roger. After my father. My mother wasn't too sure. Apparently he kept his hat on throughout their brief acquaintance. However, dear reader, I digress. I am a keen botanist.
Yes, we've all got your number.
And zoologist. In the spring of 1883, I was in the Umpopo country looking for the great white rhino, which I'd sent up the road for the newspaper and which had never come back. One evening, I was in the bar of Dutch Pete's waterfront dive having a sundowner when a strange figure lurched in. I crossed to him and, smiling politely, asked him if he fancieda jigger.
Yes, I never dance with strange men. But I have a drink. I need one. My name is Gaylord Forfix. What I have done, no white man has done and lived. I've been up the Umpopo with yellow Jack.
How is he?
Not bad, considering. Send you regard.
Thank you.
I have seen things up there that would make you blanch.
How's blanch?
Oh, she's coming. Same as Yellow Jack, only white.
Yes, I have seen the lost city of the Watalumba. Watalumba! Yes, the fabled lost jungle city that ruled over by a white woman known by the superstitious natives as She.
Who is she?
The cat's mother. They say she's over 300 years old, but as beautiful as she was when she was 250.
Well, I must meet her.
Why?
Well, I'm attracted to older women, you see. Will you lead me to her?
It's a dangerous journey through fever-ridden swamp, through trackless jungle of mountains, across deserts, through crocodile-infested rivers.
Is there no other way?
Well, a 73 bus.
Well, I haven't got any small change, and you know these conductors. They'll never take a note.
Then we must go by river. We'll sail at dawn tomorrow.
The next morning, we set off in the African Queen, played by Douglas Smith with cocoa on his face. He nosed his way lazily upstream. For Fitch and I relaxed in the stern.
Chug, 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 fut, fut, fut.
Fut, fut, Smith?
Yes, that's the engine.
Well, give the old boiler a kick.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. When you're an old boiler like me, you don't get many kicks.
Isn't that the one who played Granny in The Three Musketeers?
She gets around a bit for an old one.
Meanwhile, halfway up the Ompopo. Fut, fut, chug, chug. Cafong.
Smith, what was that supposed to be?
I think a crocodile has fouled the propeller, sir. What shall I do?
Hit it on the nose with a rolled-up newspaper.
From here on, we'll have to go by foot. Follow me.
I think we should have moored the boat first.
Help! Help! I can't swim!
Well, tread water.
I can't. The crocodile's gnawing my leg.
Well, hop water, then.
We scrambled ashore more dead than alive and set off on foot through the tangled undergrowth of the Ompopo country. For Fitch and I made slow progress.
Well, it's not easy to walk when you've got a crocodile hanging onto your leg.
I can't go on. I'm done for.
Oh, come on, for Fitch.
No, I'm finished.
He was Beth double with agony. Suddenly there was a... For a moment I thought he'd expired. But fortunately he was only transfixed by a poison dart. Where did the dart hit you, for Fitch?
Well, if I was a dartboard, it'd be triple 19.
Then suddenly from out of the bush, or rather from under the bush, came the tiny naked figure of a man riding a hedgehog. He was 30 inches high and he brandished a small but deadly blowpipe. He galloped across the clearing, reined his hedgehog to a halt, and dismounted with a sigh of relief.
I have a warning for you, white man.
What is it?
Never ride a hedgehog with no clothes on.
Who are you?
I'm Sunny Zal, king of the Ompopo Pygmies. Observe, tiny but perfect in every detail. What brings you here?
We are looking for the lost city of the Water Lumber. I'm the white goddess, she.
Aware? But you are injured. You need a doctor. I'll summon my tribe. George, Arthur, Sidney, Solly.
Hundreds of tiny figures swarmed out of the undergrowth, and in a trice we were up to our knees in Ompopo. But this man is injured. He can't walk.
Don't worry. I'll give him a pick-me-back.
That night found us ensconced in a rude hut. For Fitch was raving.
I've got fever.
Your friend delirious, but which doctor will soon cure him?
Where is he?
At which surgery? He's coping with epidemic among pygmy tribe. German measle.
Measle? You mean measles?
No. Pygmy's so small, only room for one.
Water! Water!
Here you are, old chap.
It's not for me, it's for the crocodile. Oh, mother!
Oh, thank heavens he recognizes me.
I can't feel me legs. Help me.
Help him to feel his legs, will you, somebody?
I'm going. It's slipping away. It's coming back. It's going again.
Oh, I wish it would make its mind up. At that moment, the witch doctor arrived. He stood framed in the doorway, towering over 3 feet tall, a giant of a man. For a pygmy, his ears were pierced with elephant tusks. He wore a headdress of fine ostrich plumes, and he carried a matching handbag. From his waist dangled his curious medicaments. He spoke. What was that?
I said, and how's the patient today?
Will you examine him?
Certainly. Now, does it hurt when I do this? Well, his reflexes are all right.
What you diagnose?
Not one at all. Patient has a bad case of galloping.
Galloping what?
Don't know. It goes too fast. I suspect Betty Betty.
Betty Betty, is that bad?
Not Betty Betty bad, not Betty Betty good. So.
And how are you going to treat it?
As follows. First, I smear myself in sacred chicken fat. Then I make cabalistic sign.
Well, there's nothing cabalistic. Nothing cabalistic about that sign.
Then I summon Devil Drummer. Devil Drummer!
Yeah, baby.
Give me a steady four and easy on the hi-hat. A one, a two, a one, two, three, four. One more time.
And he leapt about the room, brandishing a chicken above his head. For Fitch stirred, his eyes opened, he slowly sat up, and then, as if possessed by evil spirits, he screamed.
Shut up! Have a bit of consideration. I'm not well.
Next morning, we set off again in search of the lost city and a she. For days, we hacked our way through the undergrowth until finally there, in a valley below us, lay the fabled city of Watalumba, its marble domes and gabled minarets glinting in the sunlight. I heard a movement behind us and turned to see four grinning dark faces. The leader spoke.
Ah, white man, we were expecting you. Would you accompany us?
Delighted.
And
then mercifully came oblivion. When we came to, Fitch and I found ourselves lying on the marble floor of an enormous chamber. At the far end of the room was an ornate throne on which sat the 300-year-old white goddess, played by Betty Marsden without any artificial aid. On either side of her stood a huge Nubian. As if in answer to my thoughts, Fitch spoke.
Ah, oh, what an enormous pair of Nubians.
That which I am is, that which is not shall be. For I am that which has always been, and what I have done many, many times. I am she, but you can call me Lil. She, I am old. 300 years have I lived, but with age there are compensations. I can get enough the pictures free on Thursday. I am old. I am wrinkled. I am hideous. But
what?
Don't rush me, I'm thinking. There must be something. Ah, yes. I am powerful. My whim is law. One of you shall be my lover. The other shall be thrown to the sacred shark. Which is it to be, me or the man-eating shark?
Well, don't rush me. I'm thinking.
See this pool beneath the throne? There waits. Sacred shark played by Douglas Smith with teeth cut out of orange peel. My little pet is hungry.
Snap, snap.
Well played, Smith.
Thank you, sir. I also do sheep.
All right.
Well, gentlemen, have you decided?
Well, for Fitch. Well,
verily, Popish.
Seems there's no choice. Last one in's a sissy. Ah!
Funny, they all do that.
What a way to go, to perish in the awful gaping jaws of the sacred Douglas Smith. And talking of awful gaping jaws, hear the sacred Fraser Hayes paw to sing... which, freely translated, means serenata. Ladies and gentlemen, the Fraser Hayes paw.
Serenata for me. Sing her your song, love's melody. So near, yet we're so far apart. Here I stand, till I have won her heart. Go to my loved one, serenata, and say,
supplement. And this is the section of the show which you can pull out, and if you don't like it, throw it away. Now, first show business. Here now, interviewing a well-known personality at London Airport, is that Sunday night person, Seamus Android, whose very name is a synonym for...
deep sleep.
Come in, Seamus Android.
All right. Now, here I am at London Airport. Personally, myself in person, to meet someone who I know you will, as I have. So without further ado... here is a world-famous personality who I'm going to meet as much as you are, and who is going to meet you as much as you are, and indeed, I am. All right. So here, without further ado, is the one and only... oh, he's gone. And with that, I return you to the studio.
Thank you, Seamus. I won't miss your TV show this week. What you don't see, you don't miss. Now. Now, this week, the Colour Supplement special feature is devoted to the Englishman and art. Throughout history, the English have been connoisseurs of the arts.
Come in, Gregory.
Most kind. Yes.
There's something I've just acquired, and I'd like your opinion on it. In here, look, next to the Dagger.
Good heavens, a constable.
Yes. Genuine, do you think?
Let me see. Mm-hmm. Hey, lovely.
Lovely.
No doubt about it. It's a genuine constable. Absolutely lovely.
Oh, thank you, sir. I do try to keep myself nice. Love of the arts is deeply embedded in the Englishman's soul, and many films have been made depicting the inner struggles and romantic agony of the painter. Here now is an excerpt from that great film of the 40s, The Moon and Sixpence, reduced to fourpence this week only. Starring Dame Celia Mole-Strangler and aging juvenile Binky Huckaback.
Can I come in, Charles?
Yes, Fiona. I'm glad you've come. It's finished.
Oh, Charles. I think you've captured it. It's a small masterpiece. Oh, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I like it.
Thank you, girl.
I mean, you wouldn't see anything like this hanging in the Royal Academy.
But I don't want it hanging there.
But Charles, I'm not quite sure that I understand what you're doing.
Surely it's simple enough.
For you, Charles, for you. You're an artist. You painted it. I'm only a woman. Yeah. What does it mean?
What it says. Gents, wash and brush up.
The agony of the artist. And here's an artist who's been responsible for more agony than almost anybody alive. Rambling Sid Rumpo.
Oh, hello, my dearie. Sing Bogle Tit Willow and Lackaday for the Fly Beyond the Tarmac.
Yes. But now, you're a great exponent of the art of folk singing. Now, what are you going to give us this week?
Well, it is a Taddle Groper's dance sung by the villagers of Musgrove Parver, and it heralds the coming of the Oak Apple Fairy, or Sanitary Inspector, as he is known in they parts. The Paddle Gropers grope around while the Turf Maiden merrily whirdles her splod. They dance to a round delay that goes after this fashion. There's cord wangles in me posset bag. What shall I do, my Mary O? And I can't woggle my artifacts. What shall I do, my darling? So the Turf Maiden sings back. Stove it with a gander hook, that'll do, my billy-o. Then you can wobble your artifacts as good as new, my darling. So he stoves it with a gander hook, but it don't do no good as he's forgot to put antifreeze in. So plaintively he sings to her, I stoved it in with a gander hook, that's what I done, my Mary-o. But now I've nudged me artifacts, what shall I do, my darling? And so she tells him what to do with his artifacts. And he does it. And then they dance off, woggling and groping their tattles to the following refrain. Billy cock, oh me billy cock, oh who will nadger me dander? Boggle me, loomer me, jolly boys, and posit me splee in the morning.
Thank you.
rambling Sid, I can find the words to express my feelings. They're in the script of Till Death Us Do Part. Well, now, art is subject to changes of fashion, and the current vogue is for Victoriana, old uniforms, and so on. Last week, I paid a visit to a shop near the Portobello Road, and the sign over the door read, Boner Antiques. I entered gingerly. Hello. Hello, anybody there?
Hello, I'm Julian. This is my friend Sandy.
Oh, hello, Miss Roy. Oh, hello. Oh, it's nice to see you. Oh, it's lovely.
Oh, you come to have a browse through our bric-a-brac.
You want it, we've got it.
Yeah.
Don't see it, just ask for it.
Yeah. Do you have anything in mind, Mr. Horn? Oh, I see you're eyeing that piece in the corner. It's beautiful, isn't it, Jules?
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful it is. Thing of beauty, that is. It's a wangy rocker.
Well, I don't rock my own wangies. I have a little woman around the corner who does it for me.
Oh, bold.
How old do they get, the cheeky they are?
Oh, Jewel, change the subject.
Yes.
Here, I've got it. What about here? Uniform.
Oh, yes,
uniform.
Very in, very sheesh.
Very sheesh uniforms. Very. I mean, they're sheesh-ish.
Sheesh-ish.
Sheesh-ish. And fabulous. Uniforms are in. They're the utmost.
Yes, yes. I've heard that wearing old uniforms is the latest craze.
And we've got the craziest utmost.
Good heavens. Good heavens. Soldiers' uniforms, sailors' uniforms.
Look, how'd you fancy yourself as a gay hussar?
Oh, we take a lovely hussar.
Lovely hussar. With great bullion epaulettes.
Yes.
And all the frogging down his lallies.
All of this, look, what about fireman's uniform? Very butch.
Very butch.
Yes. Comes complete with 14 yards of hose bite and a dinky little chopper.
Oh. Yeah. Very lovely, that is.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure it is, but lovely. You know, I can't see myself wearing that to the Junior Carlton Club. Unless, of course, it was on fire.
No, perhaps you've got a point. How about a naval uniform? Naval uniform?
Well, do you think it's me?
Oh, do you think it's him, Jules?
It is him.
It's him, isn't it?
Him, yes.
Yes.
Naval uniform just does something for you.
Here, just clip it on.
Right.
Here. Here. Fantabulous.
Well, I'll take it then. In fact, I'll wear it now.
Oh, lovely. Ta-ta. Then we'll send you the account.
Well,
yeah, there he goes. Doesn't he look an absolutely perfect example of a... Oh, what is the phrase, Jewel?
Great steaming nip.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And in my second-hand naval uniform, I got many admiring glances, several compliments. I also got arrested for impersonating a Wren officer. How was I to know I was in the RAF? Cheerio, see you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, and Bill Pertwee. On the musical side, you heard the Fraser Hayes Four and Edwin Braden and the Hornblowers. The script was written by Barry Talk and Marty Feldman, and the show is produced by John Simmons.